So, you guys have what you need for summer tour?
I have my big floppy hat.
Yes, I have my prescription medicines.
I have my tickets, I think. Oh, and my earplugs from EarDial.
We're happy to have EarDial as a sponsor. They provide invisible, high-fidelity hearing protection so you don't mess up your ears at concerts.
They're some of the most comfortable earplugs I've worn. They fit well, they block out the background noise, and they let the music shine through.
EarDial is offering our listeners 20% off their earplugs, which you can find at eardial.com/Osiris. Seriously, we recommend these earplugs. I've used a lot of earplugs. These are the best ones I've used. We hope to see you at a show this summer sporting them. Check out eardial.com/Osiris to pick up some today. Hey everybody, this is Matt with a quick hit for June 21st, 2019 from Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm here with Trent. Trent, how's it going today, man?
Doing well, doing well.
So you got to see a pretty amazing Phish show last night. We were just talking a second ago about my remorse for not making the trip down to Charlotte. The couch tour definitely reinforced that and taught me a lesson last night. Overall, how was your experience last night?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, it was a really good show. Like, it was just good vibes the entire day. We got down at the lot at like 4:30. Luckily parked, you know, same lot at Shakedown. Everybody was just having just a real good time. Despite, you know, it being, you know, summer in the south, it was a little hot and a little sunny because it was summer solstice. We just knew just like things were just going to come and mesh together very well. And we could tell from the first song, it was just, we could tell that the band was just real excited and real happy to be in Charlotte.
That's great. So, the PNC Music Pavilion, it's just a little bit north of Charlotte, right?
Yeah. It's like a little bit like northeast. So it's a little on the outskirts, but it's got good history for Phish.
Yeah. So how was the scene there? I know sometimes at those North Carolina venues, the cops and security can get a little bit overzealous. Were they kind of letting things go, or was it like a party damper?
It was a mixed bag. I remember for the lot, it was pretty good. We had people that were coming by, you know, be like, if you need trash bags, like if you need water, let us know. And so they're very, very helpful. But in terms of like coming in and out, like it was like, you can only come in one way. Don't come over this way. This is, you know, car entrance. So it was definite mixed bag. But once we got into the venue, it was pretty good. And lot scene seemed really great.
Awesome. Pretty packed show, or was it undersold?
I think last I remember, it was still not sold out, but when we got into the venue and we were out on the lawn, it felt like it was pretty good space. Like, it felt like that there wasn't any like open lawn space. It was pretty packed. And yeah, I feel like it was pretty good for crowd size.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, it looked great on couch tour, and I agree with you. I think the band looked like they were energized and having a lot of fun. Definitely seems like they got things going in Cuyahoga Falls the other night and kept it going. So let's talk about this first set, which I was thinking at the end of the first set last night that it was probably the best set of the tour so far. putting set two and what was about to come aside, I mean, can you agree with that, and what was your highlight of the first set?
Oh yeah. I was with my buddy Matt, that we've been to so many shows together, and we, during set break, we just kept saying that was easily the best set we've ever seen, at least a best first set. And this is probably, I've seen them in Charlotte 5 times, and it was amazing. I was just bawled out how amazing it was. I know that they had it, they started very well with Have Mercy, and it was just, I feel like that set the tone for not just the set, but the show. It just felt incredibly laid back and just like a nice, like a summer breeze kind of show. And it was great. Like we were just every time they was bringing a different song, our mouths, fell on the floor. Easily the biggest part that happened was from the Ginseng to the Tweezer. They stopped with Ginseng, which we loved, and went straight to Tweezer. And we were both like, how did they come in with the mid-set Tweezer for a first set? I was like, I don't even know what's going to happen after this. And that was just a great jam. But personally, for me, my highlight was the Yamar. I've been chasing that song forever and has been on like my top list. So getting to hear that one was just a huge delight.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, it was, I was noticing Trey's guitar playing last night. After the Have Mercy, they ripped into that God of Jabu, which he was just absolutely tearing into, especially for the second song of the show. And I feel like the conversation this summer has been like, well, Fishman is killing it. He's so amazing. No, Trey's amazing. Trey's on fire because he's been playing live consistently for the last couple months. It's like, but then no, Paige has got all these new toys and Paige is on fire and he's like the unsung hero. Like, I feel like we've reached this point where like at any given moment you can look at any of them right now and just say their playing is just fantastic.
Yeah, easily. I feel like that's been the conversation since I think Baker's Dozen. It's just been they've just been killing it every single night. And to me, it felt like, at least from the lawn, everything sounded amazing. It was just a little bit different with Trey, at least from our section. It felt like Trey's like was tuned up a little high in terms of volume. So whenever he came in, he would shred it and melt our faces. But I was just like, oh, I can't hear, like, I can't hear Paige or Mike, because I don't know what was up with that volume. But it's still, though, like, that God of Jabu and the Tweezer and the Mercury, it was just them interplaying with each other. And this year's setup, it was just, perfect. And I just can't further gush on how amazing that first set was.
So you just mentioned something a second ago that I wanted to ask somebody about. So if you were sitting on the lawn, I don't know if you saw yesterday, Fish tweeted something about their enhanced lawn sound system. And from pictures of the last couple of shows, it looks like they're hanging like their own PA system at the back of the amphitheater for the people on the lawn. And I saw somebody comment last night at Charlotte. They said they thought the sound was better on the lawn than it was up close in the pavilion. Tell me what you saw around that, and did it really sound that great out on the lawn?
I saw that when we were on the lawn, we were over on, every time for us when we go lawn, we go Page side, Rage side. So we were over on his side. But I saw that we were about halfway up on the lawn, and there were the speakers, there were two sets. There was one on the left and then one on the right. And kind of like they were a little bit lined up with, they have now these TV screens that do the close up, probably the same, setup for the webcast. But I've not ever done a show where the seats and into the pit before, because I've always been like, I just love being out on the lawn and having my own dancing space. So, but it did sound really good, especially, when they went into some deeper jams in the second set and to delve into like some deeper play. That was it really enhanced the sound quality on the lawn, because definitely in years past there were times where I was just like, I can barely hear what's going on. So this new PA system, it was definite improvement.
That's awesome. It's good to see them put the effort into making the experience that great for everybody. So back to the set. So Have Mercy, Jabu, Free, getting kind of warmed up there. Free was pretty hot too. Ginseng Sullivan, they've got to throw in the bluegrass reference for the Appalachian region. And then, as you mentioned, right into Tweezer, and it's a concise Tweezer, but it was really good. And that, I thought that segue into Passing Through was like really well done.
Yeah. It kind of threw me through a loop for a second, because I was like, I know this. Where have I heard this before? And I did like very quick research, and I saw some people around me that pulled their phones out. And I was like, yeah, this is one of the new ones. And I was excited about it because I wanted some Kazvat Vox for last night. And I was glad that I got, two dippings of it. But it was good. Like, that was one of the songs I was like, I can kind of remember just because of the chant. And it just was very good segue. Like, of all the ones that were from last night, that was probably like spot on, just perfect, went straight to it. Because I heard the key change, and then they went straight to it, and I was like, wait, what is this? And yeah, it was good.
Yeah, and then so we've got the Umar that you mentioned before, which was great. And then this ending Mercury segment. I mean, Mercury, there was just a ripping jam out of Mercury. They get back into Tweezer. This is the first return to Tweezer. And then into Santos that was just like on fire. So tell me about the end of this set. The place had to be going nuts.
Oh, yeah. So Mercury, it took me a little bit on this one to remember it, because I think this might be my second one. And it was all right. Like, people around me were like, I had a lot of first timers with us in our group, and they were just like, this is amazing. I was like, yeah, this is a different one I haven't heard before. Like, it doesn't, like, to me, it hasn't come up that often. And I just kept hearing that, like, they kept coming back. They did like a lot of segues, like different nods. And I know this one was an official one going back into that Tweezer. And when that Tweezer came in, everybody just exploded. It was just like, it was insane, and just like went up. And then when the Santos came in, that's when that was one of the ones I personally was hoping for from the Casbah Vox. I was hoping for that or Turtle in the Clouds. For Santos, I was one that was literally just like, that was when my voice went out. And I was like, this is it. This is perfect. And everybody, it was just like just a huge, you know, surge of energy for the end of a first set. And for most of them, it was like, for most first set endings for me, it's just like, all right, this is pretty good. Like, all right, we know this is going to happen. But like, Trey was just like wanting to like keep it going. He's like, I want to just, he was like gnawing onto like a huge piece of steak. He's like, I'm not letting go. I'm going to keep this going. And you could tell from the rest of the band, we're feeling it. The whole crowd was feeling it. We were just up in the air, and it was just a great send off for a great set.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, it felt like the show almost could have ended at this point. They were blowing it up so much. It was so good. I was sitting on the couch with my four-year-old daughter, and we told her she could watch the first set before she had to go to bed. And she loves the song Santos. She knows every word and sings it all the time. But during the jam, she's laying there, and she just looks at me, and she goes, Daddy, this is so cool. Like, she could tell, just like, you know, seeing the crowd go crazy and like how into it the band was.
Yeah.
I saw a couple comments this morning. People almost said it was kind of like a Freebird ending to Santos.
Yeah. So
I have to agree. It kind of got to that place of just like, you know, guitar, you know, fireworks.
Exactly. I honestly was just considering, like, you know, I might just, you know, listen to second set from the parking lot. Like, I was like, I don't know how they're going to top this, to be honest. It was just that good. I was just so happy that, you know, they brought it to Charlotte. So.
Well, I bet you're glad that you didn't go out to the parking lot, because then they may have, if not topped the first set, it came pretty close with this amazing second set that started out with the longest runaway jam in a very, very long time. And maybe one of the best, if not the best runaway jam of 3.0. What'd you think about that jam?
So we knew we were in for something special when they came out to play Jim for a second set opener. And I already had the high bar set, because my last show was Raleigh last summer. And that was when they did the Runaway Antelope, which melted my face, was amazing. One of the best things I've ever seen ever happen with any band. So I was like, all right, if you're going to do Jim, you got to bring it. And they definitely brought it. I was wanting some jam exploration, because that was the only thing from the first set I was hoping for more of. Just more of just like putting the four into a groove and just see what happens. And that's exactly what we got from this jam. It was impeccable. Like, they went out there, they brought it out in the deep space and brought it back in. And I was like, this is what I'm looking for. So it was, I was like, I don't know what you're going to do after this, really. I was like, let's just see what happens.
So the Runaway Jam started things off really, really strong, and then straight into Sense and Subtle Sounds, which was just like, at this point I was getting jealous for the shows that I'm seeing this weekend, that songs that they were checking off the list. I mean, this was pretty incredible. And that short but sweet jam, but straight into Sand. Yeah. I mean, just the flow of the set was just pretty amazing.
Yeah. So the Sense and Subtle sounds, it took me a minute because I was like, I know this one. I haven't heard in a while. What is it? And the last time, I only seen it once before, and that was when we went to Magna Ball. And that Sense and Subtle sounds was fantastic. It was great. So I was like, all right, this is interesting. I didn't see this one coming. Let's see what happens. And to me, where we were, they seemed to feel it a little bit. And I felt like for some reason, Trey was like, nah, I'm not feeling it. Let's bring it back to Tweezer for a second. And when that happened, that's when the crowd was just like, all right, let's go again. And we're just off the walls for that, like, I think it was like 45 seconds, maybe like a minute and a half of like a Tweezer for a second. And then it changed real quick key. And this was the one part that I didn't see it coming, was the sand. Everyone else was like, all right. And then it took me a second to be like, oh, this is sand. And that was where they brought the funk in. And that was, just pristine.
Yeah.
You can't say no to a sand.
Yeah, no, I mean, the Tweezer reference there, I believe this was the first time ever that they've done Tweezer in both sets.
Oh, really?
They've done Tweezer fests within one set before, but they've never done anything that spans two sets and brings it back. Even though it was just a brief reference in the second set, it definitely, helped that transition into sand. Sand again, it was like another, I know sometimes these tab songs tend to go this way, but just another feature for Trey and his amazing guitar playing. And then you get into Life Boy, which is like a song I'm still chasing. And that was just a gorgeous way to kind of come down from the super ripping part of the second set.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew they were going to do a breather. And when they came out with Life Boy, I was, blown away. And I was also very fortunate because when it comes to the slow ones where they need to do breathers, it could go really well or just real random. And for the Life Boy, I was like, this is great. This is a good one that we were all able to calm down. Cause I mean, even though at this point it was, the sun was down, it was starting to cool off. The fortunate thing throughout the whole day was that it was breezy and it was starting to get a little bit windy. That wind died out. And I feel like that we all in the crowd was just like, all right, we need to calm for a second because it was still really hot out in the lawn. And so that Life Boy was for a lot of, not just me, but a lot of people around us. We were like, all right, we're able to take in a minute, cool down. A lot of people were laying down enjoying the Life Boy and it was just beautiful.
Yeah. So I think if anything, if you're going to fault this set, or I don't think you can fault it, but say why it's not quite as good as the first set, there was maybe a little bit of a dip in the flow from Song I Heard the Ocean Sing, Taste 20 Years Later, all well played, maybe, but not to the level of, a lot of the other amazing part of the show. But then this possum that they wrapped up the set with was unbelievable. It was a type 2 possum.
Yeah. So I will say before we get to the possum, I will say personally, when they got to a song, I heard the ocean sing, I was like, all right, this is going to be great. Cause usually it either gets really, really good or they're just kind of messing with it a little bit. And to me, I really liked the jam that was going into it, especially from Fishman. I don't know what he was doing for that song, but it was short, but it was incredibly sweet. And I felt like Trey was like, all right, let's try out the Taste. And the Taste, it was my first Taste. And I got really worried because I know of how, intricate and complicated that song is to get started with. And I feel like it kind of threw Fishman off, which kind of took a little bit for them to get back into it. And I feel like that was the low point personally, was getting from that Taste and getting back into that groove to get into the jam a bit. And I feel like they kind of just stopped. They were like, all right, we're going to bring in 20 Years Later, which I'm not crazy about, but I did like the jam that led into the possum. And that possum was probably the best one I've ever seen because I remember they did a lot of possums 2012, 2010, that was those years of possum where they did it for every other show. And when they brought it in, I was like, okay, this is Set Ender, this is going to bring up high energy. and it got started with it. Then when they got to the jamming part, they pulled it back. And I was like, what is going on? And Trey's like keeping it easy. Usually he's trying to shred through this to get this high energy going. And he just kept started with this groove and just got started with it. And all of a sudden he brought in the Have Mercy lyrics. And that's when everybody around the crowd just went, okay, we're going, this is it, this is it.
Yeah, I mean, it was like that fast reggae Have Mercy, almost like a ska version of Have Mercy.
It was
so great. I mean, I always defend Possum. I mean, maybe you're going to skip it if you're listening to a recording, but for my money, it always is thrilling to see live. It's just a fun song.
Exactly. I agree with you on that. It's great to see it in person because you can feel the energy and feel it with the crowd. But on a recording, sometimes it doesn't come through the best way. But I feel like you can definitely feel it from this one, that they were just like, if we're going to do this Possum, we're going to lay it down hard. And they did. It was incredible.
So they wrap up with the more Twee Prize encore. I don't know if you caught this in the encore from the webcast. It looked like Mike was having bass problems during Twee Prize, and he went to drop his huge note at the beginning of the song, and it was just like nothing happened. And he started like furiously playing with his gear. Could you catch any of that from the lawn?
I saw a little bit of it. I didn't exactly hear from the note, but I did see that he was messing with his rig on his left. And I couldn't tell from the crowd what was going on for it, but we were all just excited that we were going to get the Twee Prize. I was worried that they were just going to be like, you know what, we're going to wait and do Twee Prize until Sunday at Merriweather. So I was just happy that they were bringing it back in.
Yeah, I was wondering that myself. I mean, it seemed like one of those things where maybe they were going to, you know, dangle it for the whole weekend. But I think it was a nice capper on the show. Interesting to get the more Twee Prize encore. It seems like a lot of times they like to do Sleeping Monkey in that spot. But nice energetic version of more to get into the Twee Prize.
Yeah, it was definitely like a good precursor to the finale, essentially.
Awesome. Well, Trent, it sounds like you had a pretty amazing time last night, as well you should have. If we're going to send everybody out on a jam clip from last night, what do you think we should do?
Honestly, from the show, I would probably go with the gym. That Runaway Gym was just, I can't really describe because I haven't listened to it yet from the show, but it was definitely a good setup for what's going to happen for this weekend at Merriweather.
Well, I tell you what, it definitely has me excited and is, you know, jealous as I was and disappointed in myself for not making the trek down to Charlotte last night. I am super stoked for Merriweather this weekend. I think this is going to be the turning point in the tour where we're going to be talking about pretty amazing shows, and I'm stoked to be hopping on starting tonight at Merriweather. So I'm going to get going, get ready to head up to Merriweather. If you see me around this weekend, please come say hi. I'm in the pavilion both nights. And let's check out some of that Runaway Gym after a message from one of our kind sponsors. Thanks, everybody.
You guys like coffee?
Yes.
I actually cannot function without it.
Luckily for us, we have an advertiser, Passion House Coffee Roasters. Passion House was founded by a longtime fan in Chicago, and they've been sourcing and roasting some of the best beans in the world since 2011.
Now they need your help naming a new coffee, an experimental micro lot from a renowned farm in Colombia. With coffees named Millie Grace, LSD, and Box of Rain, the bar is high for a new name. But we know you can help.
Go to passionhousecoffee.com/Osiris to read about the mystery coffee and submit your idea for the coffee name. While you're there, pick up some beans or cans of cold brew. I had the Passion Cat cold brew cans recently, and they're great. Our listeners get 30% off their coffee, so enter Osiris at checkout. Get after it.
Osiris.